and welcome to The Makeup Insider. I'm your host, Vanessa Barney, makeup artist, hairdresser, educator, and all-round beauty junkie. If you've ever felt lost or lonely in your makeup career, this podcast is for you. I'm here to interview makeup artists and other industry professionals to give guidance and be the mentor I needed early in my career. With a new episode every Tuesday, don't forget to hit subscribe so you don't miss a trick. And if you like what you hear, please rate and leave a comment. I hope you enjoy. Today's guest on The Makeup Insider is Nikki from Miss Marketing. Welcome, Nikki.
Thank you. So excited to be here.
Yeah, finally, we've made it here. I feel like I say that at every podcast, though. So, Nikki, first of all, can you introduce yourself to the audience and tell them a bit about yourself and what you do?
Yes, of course. So hello, everybody. I'm really excited to be here. We have been talking about this for probably over a year now, so I'm excited that we've finally made it happen. So my name is Nikki and I run the agency Miss Marketing. So essentially, we primarily teach people and we also manage SEO and Facebook ads. So we manage it for clients, or we also teach clients how to do their Facebook ads or SEO, and we also manage Google ads for clients. So yeah, we are all about getting leads and sales for people.
Excellent. So when we say leads, we mean inquiries, yeah?
Yes,
just
exactly
to
right.
Put it in makeup artist speak, because I used to hear leads and I was like, what do people mean by leads? But inquiries.
Yes, good point. Yeah, so it's all about getting those inquiries in.
Excellent. But if you feel free to mention leads during the when we talk, because that's your usual lingo, but it does mean inquiries to the audience. So what's SEO?
So SEO is all of the actions that you take on your website and off your website in order to get those top positions in Google. So when someone makes the keyword search, for example, like a wedding makeup artist in their area, it's all the actions that you take to get that top position or like the number one result when they make a search.
What do you mean actions?
So the actions would be making sure that your website is running fast, making sure that you have your keywords in the back end of your website, and making sure you're giving Google some trust factors, such as having links from other people's websites to yours. So maybe like another hairdresser or some kind of venue that you partner with. So it's really good to have links from other websites to yours, because that helps build a trust factor with Google. So there's three different areas that I can go into, basically, that help push your position up or boost you in Google.
Okay.
Other search engines.
So running fast, let's talk about that one first.
Yeah.
So would that come down to the like program you use? Like I use Squarespace. So if you used another company or whatever they're called, I don't know what I'd call that, would they run slower?
Yeah, content management system.
Content management system. Would they run slower? Does it have to do with like the photos and stuff that are on there?
Yeah, so there's a whole series of things that impact. So essentially, I'll just break it down. So SEO is broken down into your technical side of your website. Then you've got your keywords and your content on your website. And then you've got your backlinks, which are links that come from other websites that point to yours. So the technical side will be impacted by the content management software that you use. So say if it's Squarespace or Wix or Shopify. So some of those platforms are closed source, which means that the website controls a lot of things and you can't change them. So essentially you might upload a photo and it might control how big or small it shrinks to. So there are factors that are in your control and factors that aren't. But the ones that are out of your control with those kind of companies like Squarespace, they usually manage quite well because it's a big company and they know that those things are important for search engines. So it makes it a little bit easier to do your SEO because there's less things to worry about when it actually gets to doing them, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. Okay, so that's that one covered.
I can go into that a little bit further if you want. So your technical side is broken down into your crawlability, whether you've got things set up so that Google can actually find your website and put it into its library and show it to people when they make a search.
Okay.
And the second one is how fast it is. So, and then the third one is how responsive it is to different devices. So Google now rates your website based on your mobile website, because more people use mobile than desktop. So it ranks it based on your mobile. So if your website's not mobile responsive, then it's going to be ranked down. Then you've got your content, and that is the keywords that people will find you on.
Yeah.
So to make sure that you pick keywords that are that you can compete on, because when you first start out, it's harder to compete for high volume keywords. So you need to go for lower volume keywords. And then it's creating content that your audience is interested in and making sure that, that those keywords appear in all the correct places on your website. So there's about 7 different places. And then the final thing is the backlinks. So links pointing from other websites to yours, and they essentially boost your position. So the more links that you have from high authority sites, like say news sites or maybe other makeup or partnership companies, they will boost your position within the search engines like Google themselves.
Okay. So how can you find out about keywords?
So
what's the best keywords to use?
Essentially, well, actually, I have a, if you want to know where to put them to start with, I have a little lead magnet on my website. So you can go to withmarketing.com/learn. You'll find a freebie there and it will tell you where to put the keywords. And I also have a little, I guess, workshop that will take you through how to find those exact keywords. But essentially what you want to do is use a program like SEMrush. SEMrush have a free weekly trial, and you want to go in and find keywords that relate to the pages on your website, but you need to make sure they have, say, when you first start out, I would go for a search volume of around 10 to 30 per month, and you'll see that when you actually go into the SEMrush software, what the search volume is per keyword a month. And, yeah, so you'd want to start with a keyword that's got about 10 to 30 searches a month, because you won't be able to compete until you get your, what they call is your domain authority a little higher.
Yeah, okay.
So your domain authority is the score between 1 and 100, and this was created by the company Moz, and essentially it tells us how likely you are to outrank a competitor if all things are equal. So essentially the more links you have from other websites to your website, the higher your domain authority will be. So it's really important to get those links. So the higher your domain authority and the more links you have, the higher the volume keywords you can actually go for. So that's how it works. It's not as difficult as it sounds. It's just knowing the right steps to take in order to be found.
So does your little freebie that you just talked about, I can link it in the show notes as well.
Awesome.
Does that go through step by step how to do that?
So the freebie, I've actually got two freebies. So the first SEO freebie will take you through, it's like a beginner's checklist. It'll take you through all the basic things that you need to check. The second one tells you where you actually need to put the keywords, but if you want to learn how to actually find the keywords just for your conversion pages of your website, so your sales pages or your services pages.
So you mean inquiry page?
Yeah, like your inquiry page.
Yeah.
Or the pages that talk about the different services that you do.
Oh, okay, like your about page. Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, so maybe if you do weddings or different kinds of events, you might have different pages.
Mm.
So I have a little workshop on my website called Keywords to Customers, and that will take you through how to find your winning keywords for those pages. But then my bigger program will teach you how to find keywords for all the pages on your website and lead people down a sales funnel.
So So sales funnel, that means like to your inquiry page.
Yeah, so essentially a sales funnel is the journey from someone who doesn't yet know you to all the way through the process to them buying with you. So people don't just land on your website or hear about you and then buy. There's a journey that they must go on. So the journey, for example, might be that they see you on a Facebook ad or someone tells them about you, then they land on your homepage, then you need to know the kind of keywords that they would be searching if they were comparing you to another makeup artist. And then you need to know the kind of keywords that you need to that would convert well. So, you know, for example, someone might be asking a question if they were to land on your blog or your homepage, like what is the difference between this kind of makeup style and that makeup style, or what are the different hairstyles for a wedding? Someone searching for those questions is at a very different point in their journey to someone that's ready to book. So someone that's ready to book might be searching a keyword like book makeup artist in Melbourne wedding or something a lot more specific. So you need to know what kind of keywords people are searching at all different stages of the buyer journey. And then at different stages of the buyer journey, people will hit different pages of your website. So if they're just at the beginning stages, they're likely to hit your blog because they're looking for answers to questions.
Okay.
And then if they're in the middle stages of their journey, they might be comparing you to other makeup artists. So then they might be hitting your services pages. And then if they're looking to buy, then they might be hitting your homepage because they're searching that domain directly, or they might be hitting your actual inquiry page.
Okay. You just brought up a really good point, a blog.
Yes.
So do you say it's important to have a blog on your website?
Yes, definitely, because essentially your blog is building up your know, like, and trust factor with your audience because you're giving value through that blog and providing information. So whether it be information about the types and different styles of makeup that you could do, different products that work really well for weddings or certain lighting or whatever it is that your potential customers or clients might want to know about, you can be covering those points. And people are researching those questions right at the beginning of their journey. So it's really important to be covering those off and looking like an expert in your field, because then they're going to be more likely to trust you and then want to go with you when it comes to actually converting and, you know, booking that service in. And it also provides an opportunity for you to rank for different keywords. So every time you write a blog, you can rank for different sets of keywords across different pages, across the different blogs and pages. So, it's just another – every blog is another opportunity to rank and be found in Google and bring more traffic to your website.
Okay. So you could just think about the questions that brides often ask you a lot, and you could write a blog post on them.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't even have to be very, I guess, sales-driven. It could be something about particular products. So what products work well on when it comes to makeup? So in terms of longevity, like what, you know, do you use different products when, you know, when you know you have to wear them all day?
Yeah, okay. Or the best lipstick for spring, summer of 2023, maybe I've got the year wrong, like 2022, 2023, you could do like a blog post on that or something.
Yeah, and then there'd maybe different themes and styles of weddings, like a country wedding versus like a glam wedding.
Yeah.
So you could be covering off those different points, and then at the end you can always have a call to action about booking with you. So it wouldn't be salesy within the blog. It would just be more informative to show that you're the expert and you're building an authority. And then at the end, you could have some kind of call to action.
So when you say call to action, it could be a link to your inquiry page.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Or you could even link them to the services page. So it could be like find out more about, or you could link them to your portfolio.
Ah.
So if you wanted to say see more styles like this.
So you're carrying them on through the customer journey sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. So every page on your website, you want to lead them to the next action. So you always want them to go from one page to the next and go further down the sales funnel. So they might start on your homepage or your blog, and then you want to lead them to a services page, and then you might, or a portfolio, and then you want to lead them to your inquiry page. So they see how they're moving down the funnel and then pull it towards a sale or a purchase, or like a booking in your case.
Okay. That makes complete sense to me now. I've heard about sales funnels before, but I never realized it happened on your website. So
yeah, it pretty much happens everywhere.
Yeah. So,
yeah. But I guess people don't really talk about it that much.
No. And I suppose because I paint the face with makeup, I don't think about the sales funnel. Okay. So this is all to get traffic to your website to eventually lead to an inquiry.
Yes.
So how much time would someone need to dedicate to doing SEO?
So SEO really requires a lot of the more of the setup at the start. So people feel like it's really scary and full on and technical. But to be honest, once it's all set up, there isn't a lot of maintenance. So I would probably commit a good 10 to 20 hours up front.
Okay.
So it also depends on your website. So some websites manage everything for you. Other websites you have to control. So a WordPress website might take a little longer because there's more things that you need to adjust.
Yeah.
Whereas Squarespace, Wix and Shopify and all those kind of websites, they don't require as much to change because you don't have as much control over things. So, and it also depends on the results that you get back. So when you check things like your website speed, which we have little websites that can do that for you. Everything's quite automated. Then say if your website falls within the 3 seconds, that you know you want your page to load within 3 seconds, then there isn't really a lot of changes you have to make. But if yours is loading at 10 seconds, then it might take you 2 hours to go back and fix up all those images and make sure you reload them at a smaller size.
Okay.
So I think it usually just depends on how many errors and how well you built your site. But I would say a good 10 to 20 hours up front. And then the more traffic that you want to get, the more you'll need to get links from other websites to yours. So some of the ways that you can get links from other websites. So that would be considered the maintenance side of it, because you don't really need to do the technical side and the keywords very often and content. Mm-hmm. Once you do that up front, it's done. And then the backlinks are the things that you're looking to build all the time. But you also have to consider, when you're a makeup artist, you only have a limited amount of time and days. So you don't necessarily need to be getting thousands of inquiries. Mm. You might only need to get, say, 20 a month in order to convert two or something, or three, or depending on how many you want to get. So, So in answer to that question, I'd say at least 10 to 20 hours up front, and then just the ongoing would depend on how busy you want your schedule to be. And so the more links you get, the more likely you are to be boosted higher in Google and other search engines, and then the bigger keywords you can go for that have a higher search volume, which would again mean more traffic.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I had a question, but I've forgotten it.
Why are you thinking about that? Is that loud in the background? Sorry to be random, but there's someone just started mowing their lawn.
Oh, I can't hear it.
Okay, good.
I can't hear it. And then sort of maybe could you write a monthly blog or something?
Yeah, so you can write a blog as often as you can. So I try to write one once per week, and then I send out an email to my email list saying, come read this blog, basically. So it's always getting them back to your website and you're always growing that traffic. But you could also just do it once a month. So it just depends on your availability and what time you have available. But starting with them once a month is great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, the other thing I wanted to mention, that SEO, if you do it on your own, is completely free.
Yes.
It doesn't cost you anything unless you use that program that you were mentioning.
Yeah. So essentially, SEO is free to implement. The only thing that it costs you in is your time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's really great, because it's kind of long lasting. Like a lot of other marketing that you do, as soon as you turn the money off, as soon as you turn the ad spend off, it stops. Whereas with SEO, once you set it up and you just maintain it a little bit, it just keeps going. And like the longer and the more established your website becomes, it just keeps growing.
Yeah. So, okay.
And it is free to implement. So you can use paid tools. There are free tools that you can use, but they're just going to cost you a lot more time. So it's actually way better to. It's just better to commit to doing your SEO for the week and using software like SEMrush, where they have the free weekly trial.
Mm-hmm.
Just get it done, and then you don't need to look at it again, say, for another 6 to 12 months if you want to grow your search volume bigger, and then it won't actually cost you anything in software.
Okay.
For people like me, I need it ongoing because I'm doing client work as well and teaching in it. But you could definitely – you could find your keywords within 2 hours.
Okay. So,
if you download the software for a week, that's ample time to find your keywords. You've just got to commit one day to sitting there and getting it all done. And if you only have 5 pages on your website, you only really need 5 primary keywords and maybe a couple of extra per page if you want to add more.
Oh.
So it doesn't take long to find them at all.
Okay. Wow, actually sort of sounds quite simple. So let's just run through it. So let's say I'm a bridal makeup artist in Melbourne and I want to get some more work for myself through SEO. I don't have a budget, so I just want to try and do something myself.
Yep.
I would go to your the link in the bio and find out, go to get your freebie and find out how I would do these things.
Yes.
So first of all, I would check for like the speed of the website.
How fast your website's loading.
Yep.
If Google is actually finding your website.
Okay.
And then if your website is mobile responsive. So there's some super simple quick checks you could do. So if you download my SEO checklist, it includes all the links in there that you need.
Okay. And then there's the keywords.
Yep, then you've got the keywords.
And what was it? Where there was a
backlinks.
Oh, the backlinks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds pretty easy, really.
Yeah, it's not
just a bit of time.
Yeah, it's just time, and it's not as techy as you think. If you have any of those Wix, Shopify, or Squarespace, it's pretty easy. And then WordPress and sites like that have plugins. So it's only really, really scary if you're a big company that's got huge customized software that, you know, has developed codes developing. That's when it starts to get a lot more techy. But if you're a smaller based website, there are so many automated things and ways to check things now that make it super easy. So, yeah, it's not as scary as people think, and it is techy, but it's not. If you sit there and have the right person showing you and you just know the little places that you need to go to check things, like where you need to go to check if your website's mobile responsive, where you need to go to check what the speed's loading at, then you just need to know the steps to take after that if it's not fast enough.
That okay.
Changing your image sizes.
So. Just on another note, so when someone Googles something, do you know like the statistics of this is, I've just thought of this question of how far down the page they go? Like, is it how many of the top, which what well, think, people?
Yeah. So 31, I think it's 31%, or it's between 30 and 35% of people click the top post. So is that what you mean? So
yeah,
pick the number one, and then I think it goes down to like 15 and 5. I might have it here actually. One second.
Because do people?
Oh yeah, I do. So 38%, but about 30% of clicks go to the top position. Then 15 go to the second, 11 go to the third, and then they say it's 75% of people never scroll beyond the first page.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds about right, because I don't think I ever scroll beyond the first page.
No. The only time people normally do is when there's a lot of ads and then they just pass those, or there's really nothing and then maybe type something into Google that Google hasn't understood properly so it doesn't find a good match. But Google's pretty smart and they can pick up on things. But like using that analogy, you can see what the value of a keyword is to you. So say if you had a keyword that was worth 1,000, like I had a search volume of 1,000 clicks a month, right? If you got 30% of those clicks, then you're looking at 300 people hitting your website a month. And then if you convert those at 2%.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then you're going to be getting between 6 and 10. You could be getting between 6 and 10 conversions or services booked.
Okay.
I think that calculates right. So 300, so 10% is – you'd be getting a lot – that gives you a bit of an idea of the value of the keyword for you.
So. Just for putting in an extra 10 to 20 hours of work.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
Are there people that you can pay to do your SEO?
Yeah, so we actually do that as well. Mm-hmm. We run a DIY service. Essentially, we'll find your keywords or we'll run an audit and tell you what you need to fix. And we'll tell you where your competitors are getting their backlinks from. And so that you can get some inspiration for where you could be getting backlinks from. And then we'll also give you some ideas on other areas, other places that you could get your backlinks from.
Okay.
So, and then we give you a guide on where to put those keywords in. There are agencies that do month to month. So they'll just keep managing your SEO and basically finding backlinks for you every month and looking at different pages to optimize and different things. But when you're first starting out, that can be quite pricey to do it that way. So okay. I used to do both ways, but I found that a lot of small to medium businesses prefer the DIY services.
Yeah. What would someone be looking at cost-wise for a DIY service?
So for under $1,000, you could get the audit, you could get all the backlinks, and you could get a, I think it's about 10 to 15 keywords. Pages of keywords, that is, sorry.
So
you'd pretty much get everything that you need for under $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just have to implement it yourself. If you're looking for keyword optimization, which is where we tell you exactly how to lay it out on the page, so we can tell you the places that you need to put them, but if you want us to write the copy and for your, you know, in Google where you get a result, you've got your title tag, it's called your title tag, which is the blue, and your meta description, which sits underneath.
Mm-hmm.
We can write those for you. We can put the keywords into the copy for you. We can rename your images and things like that. And that can all be done generally for somewhere per page between $150 and $200.
Okay.
But it's totally doable by yourself as well. Mm. Like it's even using the keywords guide that I created, and then I'll send you a link for, it literally gives you an example for service-based and e-commerce-based as well. It gives you an example of how to do each one. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Once you know how, it's just doing it, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think it's like anything, like you were saying before, it's just like doing the first one or two, or, and then once you've done it a couple of times, you're like, oh, this is actually not so hard. I could do this myself, and you don't actually need to outsource it. But it is good a good skill to have, because then every time you want to add, I guess, a blog, then you could just know how to go and find the keywords, or if you want to do a 6-monthly check yourself, you could go and, you know, use SEMrush again if you wanted to, and, you know, there's obviously ways that people go around using different emails and whatnot.
Yeah.
And credit cards if they want to pay for the subscription, but I'm sure SEMrush know all about that.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. is there anything else you want to add to SEO? Have we missed anything?
Just trying to think if there is anything. Not that I can think of. I think we've covered it all off. Basically just that the benefits are that, you know, you're getting a lot of visibility to your website. So a lot of people go ahead and build a website and then they actually get no traffic to it. So it's a pretty much a pointless experience, and you end up spending more money to pay for your website every month, and the profit never actually surpasses the cost of the website. So you're not only losing the time you invested into building it, but then you keep tweaking it, you're still not getting anything.
Yeah.
So it's a super economical way to do your marketing, and you're getting people that are searching for exactly what you offer. Like when you market anywhere else, you're basically putting it's outgoing sales. You're like looking for people that are interested in what you have, and it's a lot harder. When it comes to things like Google and search engines, people are already looking for what you offer. So it's so easy. They're already further down the sales funnel most of the time because they're looking for the exact thing that you offer. So it's kind of a no-brainer to have it sorted, especially if other people in your industry aren't doing it, because it means that you're going to outrank them a lot easier.
Yeah.
And you're going to win that traffic. And if you are a local MUA, then I really recommend setting up a Google Business profile, because it's super easy to rank higher when you're on like a local SEO level and just getting a lot of reviews.
So when you say local, do you mean like do your area, like your suburb or something like that?
Yeah, you can put in the areas of service that you operate in, and then people can find you. And it's that, I don't know if you, when you make a search in Google, there's a little box that comes up on the right. And it might suggest the top three. It's kind of like when you say like restaurants in my area or whatever, like you're searching anything, your box will come up. And if you can get, so if you're like in a good proximity to that person and you've got a few mentions of yourself across Google or other search engines, like just across the web. And if you have a lot of reviews, so try and get all your clients to leave reviews. You're going to be shown as the number one person in that area, and that's a super easy way to get traffic. So that's the best place to start, probably.
Okay. I didn't think, like when you said that when someone puts you, you know, they put into like a search engine, like let's say wedding makeup artist Melbourne, they're already looking for you. It's not like when you said like with ads, you're not necessarily hitting those people, but when people search that, they're already looking for you.
Yeah, so they're I mean, essentially most of them are further down the sales funnel than someone that's just randomly seeing an ad on Google or Facebook. So it's kind of a no-brainer, because you're like, oh, they already know that they need me. I just need to get them across the line. So even though they're searching for – so sometimes people will be searching, but they don't actually know that that you have what they need. I mean, in your case, it's probably different as a makeup artist, because people generally know.
Yeah.
But if you have a specific niche that you do, like, you know, certain types of weddings, or you go to certain locations, or people just might not know that these services are available. So you can always use your blogs as a way to educate them. And, yeah, as I said, they might not know that you are the solution to their problem until you're creating information that helps lead them down that sales funnel.
Thanks for listening. I hope you're enjoying the podcast so far. The Makeup Insider has launched its first edition of education. You may have heard about it. It's called Insight into Ecom.
It's a collaboration between myself and Rob Povey. Rob Povey is a fashion makeup artist here in Melbourne. His client list includes Sportsgirl, Gorman, Bonds, Mecca, Sephora. Rob has booked time and time again for creating his signature glowing skin, his crisp red lip, his ColourPop eye, and let's not forget his razor-sharp winged liner. Insight into e-com is for anyone who's looking to update their skills or refine their skills to break into the fashion market. The techniques that Rob teaches are also transferable into other markets like TV, advertising, events, and bridal. I've also just added a new section to the course, which is called Getting Work. Here I share how I broke into the e-com market and get consistent work. These are just some tips to help you break into the market and get the career that you've dreamed of. If this is something that could help with your career, head to the link in the show notes that says Insight into E-com.
Let's move on to Facebook ads.
Yes. Love Facebook ads.
So you love Facebook ads?
Yeah, I love them. They're like, I think that's like my favorite thing to do. I don't know why.
So what are Facebook ads?
So essentially Facebook ads are sponsored posts within Facebook or Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
So it basically is something that looks like a social media post, but it has money added to it by yourself or another business, and it will boost that and send it out to all the people that you select within your targeting. So mm-hmm. that I guess you get more visibility on your ads. So you can target those people through geography, through their interests, their behaviors, and also people that have engaged with you already across your website, your social media platforms, and other areas.
Okay. So when it's Facebook ads, that means Facebook and Instagram?
Yeah.
Or one or the other or both?
Yeah, that's both. It's both of them.
Okay.
So the Facebook ads manager allows you to set up ads that gets pushed out to both platforms.
Okay, but can you choose just one?
Yes.
Oh, okay, cool.
You can choose,
cool.
And you don't even have to pick everywhere on Facebook. Like you could just pick stories, or you could just pick posts, or you could just pick that it appears in the search function. There's like lots of different placements that you can choose where they go, but generally the feed is the most popular, followed by stories.
So okay.
It has the most success generally.
I'm going to go straight into because this one's a little bit harder for me to understand. So if I'm an event makeup artist in Melbourne and I want to get some more clients, some more inquiries, what would be the process? What would I do?
Yeah, so essentially 90% of the time when we're running ads on Facebook or Instagram, we're going to be using like a conversion-styled objective. So mm-hmm. there's lots of different objectives that you can choose on Facebook ads, whether it be traffic or brand awareness or whatever. But essentially what you want to do is choose the campaign objective that most relates to you. And you'll see this when you actually go into the ads manager. The first question they ask you is, what is your campaign objective? So if you are a makeup artist and you want to get more inquiries, or what we call leads, into your business, essentially what you would do is you would use the lead objective within Facebook.
Okay.
You just click that, and then it gives you some options. So you've got to decide where you want to send those people that are maybe looking to inquire with you. So if you want to send them to your website, do you want to send them to Messenger? Do you want them to fill out the form within Facebook themselves? So if you can set the ad up to go to your website, that's generally the best, because people can then go around your website and have a look at your portfolio. They can have a look at the style of weddings that you do, where you're located.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, without confusing everyone too much, but the way that you choose where you're going to do it is based on whether if you have a thank you page on your website. So if someone fills out an inquiry form and then you have a thank you page,
mm-hmm.
when someone hits that thank you page, that tells Facebook that you've got a lead, because basically that triggers to say that if someone hits a thank you page, that means a lead has happened. They won't know if a lead's happened if they only hit the sales page or the services page or your inquiry page, because it hasn't, because I don't know if that makes sense, but when someone hits a thank you page, that basically tells Facebook that you've got a conversion or you've got a lead.
Yeah.
Because that's what it means. When they've hit that page, that means that someone's filled out the form, they've hit enter, and it's now gone to your database. So if you have a thank you page, a thank you page, Facebook can measure whether you have a lead or not. If you don't have one, your Facebook can't measure that. So it's better to run the ad within Facebook or Instagram itself. So I don't know if you've ever done an autofill on a form on the platform.
Yeah,
that's a super easy way. And it's an easy way to get leads. But some people think they don't convert as well as when they hit your website. But you can always test those different factors out. But you can also send them into Messenger to start a conversation with you. But sometimes it's good for them to hit your website as well, because you can ask more questions. Like, I know with people that are in the wedding industry, they might like to ask the date of the event, where the location is, the time. So you can capture more information on your website.
Mm-hmm.
So it's usually better to do it on your website. You just need to set up a thank you page, which generally isn't hard. If you've set your website up, it's just basically setting up another page and then redirecting people to that page once they've filled the form out.
Okay.
So, and then you want to try a whole bunch of different audiences to target. So I had a look right before to see what, because sometimes the audiences are changing. So some of the kind of things that you could target as a makeup artist would be marriage, wedding coordinators, anything to do with weddings, like wedding dresses, wedding rings, consultants. You can narrow it by the age and the location of the area. You can also target people that are newly engaged. So 3 months, 6 years, a long engagement. Maybe. So nearly engaged, so 3 months, 6 months or a year. So you could target people based on how long they've been engaged for.
How do you know, how does it know you're engaged?
Because you know how people update their status and say engaged?
Oh, my gosh, that's why.
Yeah.
That's so wild. I never even thought about this.
Yeah, so it's really great, actually, if you're in the industry, because you can target people based off those kind of things. You can also target keywords like engagement or wineries or different wedding venues or brands that you know that are affiliated with weddings in particular.
Okay. So
they're certain styled wedding dress, wedding magazines or wedding brands that are quite large. You could target those as well, because people that are primarily looking at those are people that are in, you know, getting ready to get married. So then, yeah, so you would basically target four or five of those different areas, and then you would build your creative in order to get them in. So there's probably two different ways that you can do it. So if you've got kind of more of a content strategy, you could get people to download some kind of lead magnet or some kind of – so you might have like a lead magnet that's all about the best hairstyles for 2023 weddings. Or you could offer some kind of incentive that's got some urgency related to it. So you might say 10% off the first 10 people that book a service with me, limited time only, 5 days or something. So if you use urgency and say, this is my special offer, it's only available for a limited amount of time or there's a limited amount of spots, people are a lot more likely to take action. So, So there's two different ways that you can do it. So if you want to get them onto your email list, so when they're ready to book, then they will, and you could just be sending them emails and blogs all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Or you just use the alternative approach, which is, you know, here's an offer, here's a discount or some kind of incentive to book now and inquire, and you have to do it within this time period, otherwise you miss out. And, you know, a lot of the time, just to be frank, there aren't only 10 spots, but if people think in their head there's only 10 spots, then they're going to get in now.
Okay.
So you could leave that ad going ongoing, because there's millions of people in your audience. So the same people aren't going to be seeing it anyway.
Okay. Cause I was just thinking that, you know, your ad would just be sending out a pretty photo but you really need an incentive, to capture them, I suppose. I don't know if that's the right word.
Well, yeah, you could. Like, if you've got really beautiful photos and you're really well known, that's fine. But what essentially you need to do is make sure that what you offer is better than somebody else that's running Facebook ads. Because if your ad doesn't have a competitive edge, then why would they pick you over somebody else? So you could start by just running a really beautiful photo and then saying, inquire with me. Because it is sometimes easier when you're location-based to win those inquiries. Mm-hmm. So you could start there, and then if you're finding that you're not getting any sales or any inquiries, then I would move to an offer that's like that they can't refuse, essentially.
So, yeah, okay.
So it could be like a certain package that you offer or anything really that you know is compelling with your audience. And you can always ask, if you don't know what's compelling, ask your audience on a poll on Instagram or ask people that you deal with. like ask wedding clients or past wedding clients. So, but you can also use the Facebook ads library. So if you just Google Facebook ads library, you can look at what other people are running on, what other ads your competitors are running. And then if you look at the date on the ad, so you can scroll through the ads that they're running, look for the oldest ad, because you could bet your bottom dollar that the oldest ad is the most successfully running ad, because people wouldn't keep putting money into an ad that's not performing.
Oh, wow. I never thought about that.
Yeah, there's lots to think about. There's lots of little hacks that you can learn. So,
yeah, there's so many things. So how much do the ads cost? Like,
so, I mean, generally you can start with, say, $10. I would generally try and start with $10 a day at least. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, basically the leads depend on the industry and, like, where you're – you know, and kind of what you're offering. So sometimes with a lead magnet, you might get a lead for like, or a freebie, so, you know, like the freebie I talked about, like the five hot styles of 2023, you might get something for like, say, $1 to $5, like one inquiry, but then, one download of your lead magnet. But then when it comes to inquiries, they might cost you a little bit more. So they can range between say $5 to $100, for example, but you can bring those costs down by testing different things. So essentially what I do is I test five different audiences against each other, and mm-hmm. it's hard to show, I guess, why we're talking like this. But I run workshops that show like very, I run like 2-hour workshops that show this. But essentially you test five different audiences against each other and you see which ones are getting the most leads, and then you turn off the ones that aren't and scale the ones that are and add more money to the audiences are going well, because essentially when you turn off the ones that aren't, you're getting rid of the costs, the ones that are costing you a lot of money, and you're keeping the ones that aren't costing you a lot of money and making you money, and then you can start testing other audiences. So you might turn three off and then add three different interests. So you might target wedding dresses in one audience, wedding rings in another, wedding consult coordinator in another, recently engaged in another, or you might just go really broad and not have any targeting at all besides the location. And yeah, you would test them all out against each other, and then you would turn off the ones that aren't working. And then with the creative, you do the same. You might test three different images or an image, a video, and a tutorial.
Yeah.
And you might see after week one that the beautiful image is performing really well and the video and the tutorial aren't. So you could turn those two off and then add two other images and test those images against each other. So then you would do that on the first week or two, and then on the second week you'd take the best performing image, turn all the others off, and maybe test three different lots of copy or three different offers and see what works better. And then the third week you might test three different headlines, and then the fourth week you might test different buttons. So by testing all different things constantly, you can find the sweet spot. And eventually once you've found that sweet spot, you can just let them run.
Yeah. So like you could, if you're having a quiet week, you could run something, for example, if you know what your sweet spot is.
Yeah.
If you're doing just events. Yeah.
And you could also, if you find out what's working and what's not. So at the start, you might put $10 on a day just to kind of, because Facebook doesn't have any data. They don't know who to send your ads to.
Okay.
And once they start to build up data and you start getting inquiries, it starts to know what attributes of people are most likely to match with you and download and take the action that you want them to take. So it'll start sending more ads to the right people once it gets to know more about you, because it builds up that data. So you'll find that the longer that you run ads, the better they perform.
Okay.
So it's always, even I wouldn't even, like, if you can, I would always suggest just keeping your ads on even for $5 a day, just so that you're always getting inquiries. So I work even with a lot of photographers that do this, and we'll just keep the money going all the time, so they're constantly getting bookings. But again, it depends on how many days you work. There's no point if you're booked out for months keeping those ads going.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Whereas with her, she worked 5 days a week. So, and maybe she was taking photos on three of those days and editing on the other two. But if each session, you know, if she could fill 20 sessions a week, she had to fill 10 sessions a week. You know, that you're not going to fill them if you're keeping the budget. Like, you're not going to if the budget's low, you know, it's not like you're going to be getting a million people in. So you can just keep them going and consistently be filling up all your spots. And, you know, you might think, oh, it's costing me $70 a week, but if that's bringing you in $1,000 a week or $1,500 a week, then it's completely worth it because your return on your ad spend is high.
Because if you're like, say you're an event makeup artist and you've got like a makeup bar that you work out of, you know, in say Thursday, Friday, Saturdays are the busiest days. And if you've got those ads running in the background, even if it's just for $5 a day, that's $35 a week, but that gets you booked out for those 4 days.
Yeah.
Then it's worth it.
Exactly. And then you also have to think that if you get a few people booked in, even if you're not doing weddings and you do other kinds of events, those people will tell other people and those people will likely come back if they love your customer service. So, you know, the customer journey goes on from not just the ad but the conversion, but it's also when they come and they see you, it's providing an incredible customer experience because that's what's going to get people raving about you and to their friends and going to get them to come back. So it's not just like getting people through the door, it's providing an incredible customer experience from start to finish so that people are returning and telling people about you.
And talking about customer experience, you can also use one of those booking systems now.
Can you say that one more time?
So even, you know, part of the customer experience is the booking process.
Yes.
So makeup artists are probably renowned for being terrible at getting back to people, or maybe I'm just speaking for myself. So if you've got the booking, you know, one of the booking things, is it Timely? So you could, if with your ads, could you direct them to like a booking app?
You could, but the issue would be that you might not be able to track it. Depends on.
Oh, I see.
So if Facebook can't track it, then.
But if they book, they would probably go to a thank you page.
Yeah, if there's a thank you page and the software has a if you can install the Facebook pixel on that software, then you can do it.
Oh, okay.
So it just depends if you can install the pixel. So it's just worth, say, Googling, can you add the Facebook pixel to this software? And then you could do it because then you could just tell Facebook that this is where the thank you page sits. And if someone hits that page, then that's a conversion. So
Facebook ads could be a really good way for someone who's sort of starting up and wants to get clients, or even if you're not starting up, someone who just wants to be busy.
Yes.
To get a booked schedule. Yeah. I've just got one question from someone of the audience. Is it better to let Facebook ads choose the audience for your ad or manually choose?
Yeah. So yes and yes. The answer is good for both. So essentially what I like to do is if it comes to an ad, we call it an ad set. So essentially an ad set is where you define your targeting. Mm-hmm. So you would put in your age bracket, and I usually go kind of like 3 to 5 years upper and lower on what I think my target audience is. So if it's 20 to 30, then I might go maybe not 15, but I might go 18 to 33, 35. Mm-hmm. And you always pick your like kind of age, location, and your gender because they're going to be things that don't change, right? So you want to make sure you put those parameters in. But then you would pick an interest. But if you have enough data, so say if you've got at least 50 to 500 inquiries, then I would consider going really broad and not adding any interests, adding probably females because I'm guessing it's 90% probably females. So you'd probably want to add females in. You'd probably want to add your location in if you only do location. But maybe don't put the age in just to see if it doesn't do anything, and don't add an interest. So you could do one really broad ad set to see how well, if you need a lot of inquiries already because Facebook needs to have collected data about your audience. Once it's collected data, so don't go broad until you've got a decent amount of inquiries because it doesn't know enough about your audience. But once you're a bit more established, then try that approach. And I found it actually works really well. But yeah, you do have to have that data already.
So maybe when you're starting out, do it manually. But when Facebook gets to know your audience, then you can.
Yeah, you can test out.
Yeah,
you can test out the broad thing. Because I did that this week with a client and it just took off. It was it was like a fashion brand. And I just tried a broad audience. This person has made a lot of sales because I worked with them for 2 years. So I was like, I'm going to give this a shot for this audience. And it just took off. And they've made 8 sales already. And it's they sell $300 products. So, within a few days. So, yeah, it worked out really well.
Hi, Vanessa here. Some exciting news. Rob Povey and I have teamed up again and we're creating another masterclass. This time it's all about working on deeper skin tones. My goal is to create quality education and inclusivity within the makeup artistry community. If this is a course you think you'd be interested in, jump on the waitlist. You can find the link in the show notes. Now back to the podcast.
So what kind of return can you get from Facebook ads?
So that can be, I guess, how long is a piece of string in terms of like the type and the strategy that you use to set up the ads can depend on the return that you can expect. So we generally recommend to be getting at least a four ROAS, which is like a four, like for every dollar you spend, you get $4 return on your ads. Mm-hmm. But the return that you get is going to be dependent on how well you set up the ads. Because if you don't know how to set up the ads properly, you're probably not going to get a good return. So mm-hmm. there are a few things like you've got to make sure you choose the right campaign objective. You've got to make sure you set up the audiences correctly. You've got to make sure you test the audiences and the creative. So there's a number of different factors that you need to make sure that you get right. Otherwise, your ad costs are going to be more and more expensive. I always recommend that you either work with an expert, and maybe not even just working with them, you can get them to spend an hour or two showing you how to do what I'm talking about, or mm-hmm. taking a workshop that takes you through it. Because essentially, if you're just throwing money at Facebook ads, you could be burning money, especially if you're just boosting posts. So instead of just throwing $200 at ads, take that money and maybe invest it in some kind of workshop or expert to get them to show you what you're doing and make sure they've got good results, because there's a lot of people out there that maybe say they're experts, but they may not have gotten good results. So like any industry, you always want to make sure that you're doing your due diligence. So if people aren't testing and optimizing their audiences, they're never going to bring their ad costs down. Mm-hmm. So you want to bring your ad costs down, because that means that the cost that it takes you to acquire a new inquiry or a new lead, we can bring those costs down in Facebook ads by just tweaking different things. So whether we turn off ad sets and audiences that aren't working, or whether we turn off ads that aren't working and adding new ones, and gaining an understanding of what your audience is responding to and adding more types of ads like that will help us lower your costs and lower how much it costs you to acquire a customer, which means you're making more money.
Okay. So this is going to sound so stupid. Are you one of these strategists? Is that what you do?
I put a lot of work into making sure that I am up to date with all the Facebook things to do. It sounds a bit, I don't know.
No, this makes complete sense. No. Like, because I'm like, so can you, is this what you do?
Yeah, so.
This makes much more sense to me now.
Yeah, so this is what I do. So basically, and I do masterminds and different things all the time to keep my skills set up to date. But yes, I am a Facebook ad strategist, so I am always looking for ways to make your ads perform better and also bring your costs down, which if you make more money off your ads and you cost you less, you're making money on both ends. So, so basically I manage ads for clients, but then I also teach workshops. So this workshop will actually be probably before this goes live, which is on – so I'm running a workshop on Thursday that essentially teaches you how to get leads or inquiries into your sales funnel or into your business. And, yeah, that will be actually made available on the website anyway, and it will be available to access after the class. So just for people if they want to attend live, but you don't need to attend live, and in that I take you through how to set up those ads in under 2 hours.
Okay, so that's for Facebook ads.
Yes.
Okay. So people could get your services to learn about SEO and Facebook ads if they wanted to.
Yeah. So, you go.
They could do like, I don't know, a 2-hour strategy thing with you or something like that.
Yeah. So, I also do one-on-ones. People generally do the SEO in a group. They prefer that kind of style, but I do one-on-one, but it's easier to do that in the group setting. And then, but then Facebook ads, I can do, I do one-on-one, but then I also run the workshop. So when you go in a group, everything's always more economical. And then when you go one-on-one, it, it's a little bit more expensive because you're customizing it to your business. So and I'm spending one-on-one time with you.
It's just one other question. If you're not getting a return on your investment, is it because you're doing it wrong?
It could be. Yeah. I mean, there's a few things that it could be. It could be your setup, but generally, it's pretty hard to get the ads. Like, it's hard to get the ads wrong. Like, how do I say this? So, if you've got a bad offer, but you've set it up right, your ads still won't perform well. But if you have a good offer and you set up your ads mediocre, your ads will still perform. Okay. So, and I've actually got a blog about this on my website, but if you're not getting many sales or many inquiries, it's because there's something wrong with your offer. So you need to go back to your audience or go back to your following and start asking them questions, because it means that there's other people online that are putting out way better imagery and putting out something out way better, or they're providing a way better offer.
Mm.
So if there's other competitors in your industry that are providing a better offer and their quality of photography is better, then they're more likely to go with them. So you're going to need to be able to compete with them, because why would they go with you over them if their offer is more compelling?
Yeah.
You know, it's like if you see two different clothes shops on Facebook, for example, and they're both selling the top that you want, but one's offering you a 10% discount, who are you going to go for? Well, so yeah, you know, if that's a simple way of putting it. So unless you have a really big following and people know you within the industry, then you're going to have to compete on something. So
yeah, okay. Yeah. There was another question. I know it's more of a PR kind of a question, but I still think you could offer some advice. The best way to connect with influencers for the first time.
Yes. Okay.
We chatted about this earlier because you work with people that reach out to influencers. So I might get you to tell the listeners what they do.
Yeah, so generally I find what a lot of my clients do is basically they just send a DM to the person that they want to work with, and that's how the relationship gets started. Most of these people, especially the micro ones, they are used to people reaching out to them and they manage a lot of their own contacts. So I would say just start out by sending an inquiry. There is a website, and I'm having a complete mind blank, but I can send it to you.
Yeah.
There's a website that's got influencers on there, and some of them will do it free of charge, and some of them will do it like you have to give them something in return. You might have to pay them. So that's another way that you can, what is the name? There's a couple of different ones. I'll find the name and I'll
pop it in the show notes.
Yeah. So, but essentially, let me just see if I can do, I know this is really random, but I might just see if I can quickly Google it, because.
And then that way we've got it straight away.
Yeah. Then you've got it streamed. The Right Fit.
Oh, The Right Fit. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Right Fit. Yeah.
Yeah. So The Right Fit is one where you can actually go on and look to hire an influencer. But I would always just reach out to them first. And, I mean, if they don't reply, then you can go through, look for another means. Or sometimes people have a contact form on their actual or a way to get in contact with them or their management on their Instagram themselves.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's another way to do it. But, yeah, looking for using websites like The Right Fit is the other way to do it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you would like to add that we've missed?
Basically just that if you're looking for a supercharge and you want something quick, Facebook ads is probably a good way to do it. If you want something that's got a slow burn and maybe going to cost you a little bit less, then SEO is great for that. It's got longevity and it's kind of the gift that keeps on giving. So both are great. It just depends where you are in your business. I like to do both of them because one's a consistent, like SEO is consistent. It's kind of like the faithful marriage partner. Mm-hmm. And then you've got Facebook ads, which is more, I don't know what you might want to call it. I don't know, the fool or something. people love doing Facebook ads because they think it's like so fun and exciting, and it's like maybe a new relationship kind of style.
Yeah.
So it's like
SEO is like, you know, the more like it's got longevity, it's always there. It's just the gift that keeps on giving. So
yeah.
Yeah, that's probably just a good way to maybe sum them up. But I think we've kind of covered everything else off. So yeah, hopefully that's really helped your audience.
If someone's interested in working with you, what's the best way to do that? Website, Instagram?
To be honest, I am across everything. So whatever is easiest for you. So I've got an inquiry form on my website that you can just hit. You go to the home, missmarketing.com.au, and hit contact. So it's /contact. And you can put an inquiry in there, or you can send me a DM on Instagram. You can Facebook me. I'll respond to anything.
One other thing, the workshop that you're doing, so it's going to be going live before the podcast goes live, so then people can go to the website and then they can, how much is the workshop?
So yeah, for a couple more weeks it'll be $127 Australian.
Okay. Yep.
And then it'll most likely go up, so it'll probably go up. I might even just put it up in the new year.
Okay, and that's to show you how to set up your Facebook ads.
It's just to show you how to set up a sale, like a leads ad. So that's just like which you use 90% of the time in Facebook. So yeah, it's a bit of a steal, that one. I just thought, you know what, I'm just going to put it out there and help people out, and I know it's a big one. So.
And that could be all someone needs if they want to do Facebook ads.
Yeah.
Is that workshop.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you know, there is like bigger strategies and there's all different things, but 90% of the time, yeah. That's okay. All you're going to need. Obviously, there's things like where you want to prime your Instagram account and make sure it looks good, and you want to make sure you get a bit of a following, so because people like social proof. So there are ways to do that, and I talk about them on my blogs and in different videos across my YouTube and things like that.
Yeah, YouTube.
I haven't posted on it in a while, to be honest. I used to do Facebook videos all the time.
There you go.
So I need to get back onto that. I just haven't done it in a while because I've been so busy creating three different programs. So,
yeah. Yeah.
And doing enough. I'm like a serial course taker as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You sound like me. Yeah. Thanks so much, Nikki. That's been so informative. I've learned so much.
Oh, I'm so glad. I get
things a whole lot more now.
You're so welcome. And yeah, thanks so much. I've been really excited to be with makeup artists, like, and talking to this kind of audience.
Yeah.
Something I'm really interested in. So.
And makeup's fun.
It is.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining me today on The Makeup Insider. I hope you've enjoyed the show. Please don't forget to rate and subscribe, and I'll see you soon. Bye for now.